What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 317, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives a little kickback and, of course, keeps the podcast on going. With me, my not underwater co-host, Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. I wasn't on underwater yesterday, but it was a little... A little close for comfort.
So explain what happened, because we typically do the podcast on Wednesdays. It's now Thursday. Yep. So yep. What happened yesterday?
Yeah. So where I live, I have a kind of small creek behind our house, a decent ways, but it's close enough. Like, I don't have any neighbors behind me. There's a creek. And every now and then when it rains a lot, it'll overflow and flood and kind of raise up. And when it gets to a certain level, you know, it's a little, freaky to say the least. So it's been raining, finally not raining today, but it rained for like 2.5 days straight, pretty much, multiple inches of rain. And I came home yesterday after work and realized that my main submersible sump pump was dead. And thankfully I have a backup water powered sump pump that had been running just fine, but I needed to replace the main one because I don't like just running off of the backup. I wanted to have both of them available to go there. So I had to go get a new sump pump, install that. And I just wasn't sure if I was going to get it done in time to start the podcast. So thankfully got it all swapped out. It's working great. But here tonight.
It did. Like, when you showed me the pictures, I was like, yeah, that's like that looks a lot bigger than a creek. Like, it looked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I was like, get a canoe. You could go down the creek.
Like, usually it's within its banks and like, from side to side, it's probably 10 feet in my section wide. So that's not very much. And then like the depth, I mean, it's only a couple feet at the most deep most of the time, but it's out of the bank. So it's like where it's only 2 feet deep, usually it's probably 12 to 20 feet deep.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. That's one thing like that I don't get here, obviously, in San Diego. It's like all of the rain. Like, I remember, I'll tell this one story because it was like my second apartment after college, and we like, it's me and two other buddies, and we lived in like the basement. And you know, like anywhere you go, like the basement, there's like that one window that's like up, like towards the roof, you know what I mean? And you know, just like you, it's like rain, it was rain for like a couple days straight, you know, not a big deal. And then I'm just like sitting there, like on my computer, and I just hear something that sounds like water. And, you know, because there's like typically there's like a window there, you know, like, and water's just rushing in the window. like, and then it turns into like a waterfall coming in my room. And I was just in like, you know, I had, you know, I obviously back then I still had like computer stuff and I had to like get everything off the ground and it just wouldn't stop. And they had to obviously like replace all the carpet in the place. Oh, yeah. And it was just like, and it was like my landlord had to put me in like a whole nother apartment for like 2 weeks while they like cleaned everything out. Like, it was crazy. That's one thing you don't miss. I mean, I get, it is nice to have like a nice thunderstorm and stuff, but all the flooding and all that stuff that kind of goes with like, it is, you know.
The nearest like gauge is just down the, it's not very far from me. And it averages at like 7 feet. It reached 18 today. Jeez. So yeah
we always used to have to too, is like all my friends have boats and we would have to like go and help like move the boats or stuff like that, because you know the river, when the same thing, like the water would rise so high, it would be like insane, it would be crazy. So well, we're glad that that everything's good and you didn't no flooding, no damage to any computer parts, or as old man said, or as you said in the chat, no comics or anything as well. So it's always
I don't store my comics on the ground or anything important. So
yeah, but this is a tech podcast, so we're definitely going to get to tech. If you guys do want to follow along, we have our full show notes page. It has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. A lot of stuff out of Computex, some big announcements, especially from AMD, and we'll definitely go ahead and get to that. But I should have had it so I could hold it up. Is the our first review, which is of an awesome little laptop. I was so surprised by this laptop, honestly. It's the Lenovo IdeaPad Slim 7 Carbon. If you're familiar with Lenovo, you probably know their ThinkPad line. I think everybody does at this point. ThinkPad line is their business line of laptops, where IdeaPad is sort of like their mainstream sort of line of laptops. And the Carbon, you know, when you hear Carbon, the, all the like the ThinkPad X1 Carbon is like their known, you know, model. You don't typically hear Carbon when it comes to the IdeaPad, but they did it with this one. And I'm really glad they did, because it's such a thin and light laptop. I'll show you pictures of just like, it's super, super thin. It's actually lighter by a few, by a little bit than the actual, the ThinkPad X1 Carbon. Like, this thing is just tiny, tiny. And it's perfect. It's a perfect little laptop. The one really cool thing about it is that it has an OLED screen. And these pictures I'm going to show you, if you're watching on the stream, they're not going to do this display justice. It is, I've always said this, and I said this from the first time I saw OLED screen in person at CES, is OLED screens are just beautiful. They're like so beautiful to look at. And it's even more incredible just like how thin they are, but just how vibrant, you know, and the blacks are black and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just an awesome display to have on a laptop. So you get a 14-inch OLED display. And the one thing that's nice, and that Lenovo's done this with their new series of laptops, is instead of doing 16 by 9 screen, they do a 16 by 10 screen. So you get a little bit more vertical real estate, which I think a lot more people appreciate. It's just so much better resolution wise. And this one is they call it a 2.8K display, but it's 2880 by 1800. Which is really great. So if you wanted to do, which I took pictures of, like do two windows side by side, you can actually do it quite well. Like here's a website, and here's like our YouTube, like side by side. And this is at 100%, you know, no zoom scaling. In. Yeah. And then this is like, this is the default 200 scaling, which I'm not a fan of at all. But yeah. You know, 100% scaling on that display. It's just like perfect for multitasking, having two windows open at once. You know, it's really great for that. And again, you don't find that all that often on a laptops where you can really do that. Again, the vertical space, that the extra vertical space that you do get on this laptop is much appreciated if you are doing anything, you know, multitasking or just where you need two windows kind of open side by side. It's really good for that. Another thing that's really great about this laptop is that it is AMD powered. So typically when it comes to laptops, it's all Intel for the most part. You know what I mean? But we have a Ryzen 7 5800U in this, and it actually does pretty good. It's very very comparable. If we look at some of our benchmark results, you know, like just this overall score on PC Mark 10, it does better than the Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Carbon, which has the Core i7-1165G7 in it. And it does, like I said, it does really well. Single core, it's slightly behind, but in multi-core, it crushes it like most Ryzen processors do, honestly. You know, looking at multi-core here in Geekbench. And then in 3D Mark, it is quite behind. So the integrated graphics that are in this Ryzen mobile processor aren't anything to really... write home about. I think if you're really buying this laptop, you're not a gamer, right? But you could still do decent stuff with this. Like you could play, like we play Apex. You could probably play Apex, you know, at 1080p, you know, quite lower easily. Settings, yeah. Lower settings. Like you could do some stuff with this, but it's not going to be something where you're playing, you know, games at the full resolution at high frame rates. But again, this is this is really what I consider a thin and light laptop. Like it's super thin. You know, super light. It's just a nice little laptop. As far as connections, you don't get all that much. So this is something that if you do use certain things, you'll be a little bit disappointed. So on one side, you have two USB Type-C. These are 3.2 Gen 2 on this side. One's your power port, and then one is just, you know, normal port. Then you have multi-port audio connection here, and then the other side, all you have is just another. This is USB 3.2 Gen 1 on this side. That's it. So all type C's on this. Very, I guess we are getting there when it comes to type C, but I think that a lot of people will be kind of disappointed that there's not a type A on this. So many devices still use type A.
At least
A.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. They do include a dongle. So they do include a dongle that gives you one type A and I believe HDMI as well. And these ports on this side, they do support DisplayPort and HDMI if you wanted to do that through the USB port. Now, the big difference between this and, say, like the ThinkPad X1 Carbon as far as ports go is that these are just USB 3.2 Gen 2. They are not Thunderbolt 4, which you get on the ThinkPad. So if you're kind of looking between the two, that's one of the big trade-offs. I think for most people, you don't really need the Thunderbolt. You don't really need that crazy speed. You know, some people might need it for certain applications, but I don't really think you do. So that's kind of one of the trade-offs with this. You know, it's like I said, it's such an elegant design. Magnesium alloy as far as like the whole build, and then the lid actually has carbon fiber built into the magnesium, so that's what makes it very nice and light, which I just really, really like this laptop. Your normal keyboard, nothing really crazy, super comfortable, very big trackpad, which I do like. You know, it's like I said, very comfortable to type on. It is backlit. You do get a webcam, which is pretty bad. Oh wait, let me go to the pictures of that I took of myself with it. It's very bad. It's a 720p webcam, 0.9 megapixels for pictures like this that I look so happy to be taking the picture.
Yeah.
The microphone on it is not that bad. We have some audio samples if you guys want to listen to it. It sounds pretty good. So if you are in a Zoom call, I would say if you are looking to get this and you do a lot of Zoom or Teams or anything like that, I would suggest getting it. The webcam's just not good. Again, it's only 720p and it's just not great. But the audio is decent. So you could still use the onboard audio if you wanted to with this and get away with it. But I would definitely get a new webcam. But overall, I think this is just an awesome laptop. The Ryzen 7 5800U is, like I said, it was able to handle everything that I threw at it. I did mention you have, you know, PCI Express hard drive in there. So super fast, boots up fast, the beautiful display. And I think that's the biggest thing is when you're using a laptop, the display is really important. So absolutely beautiful display. Looks great when you're doing pretty much anything.
Is it a glossy screen or is it a matte finish?
It is a glossy screen. Mm-hmm. But the viewing angles on it are really good. And like I said, it looks absolutely beautiful. And like I said, no real like other issues.
What's the cost?
So one, you can't, it's out of stock on Lenovo's website and they don't mention a price. I found it. Well, I'll just go to it. So, Ants Online has it, right? And they say it's sold out, but if you look at the price, it says item you're currently viewing. I don't know if you guys can see this. Can I zoom in? So it says item you're currently viewing, $949. So for just under $1,000 for getting, again, OLED display.
Seems like a really good deal.
2.8K OLED display, really good performance. You know, again, the only downsides is ports and the webcam. Again, you can buy dongles and stuff like that. Obviously, yeah, I mean, that's a really good price. And again, it's thin and light. It's soup. Like it's the lightest laptop that I've ever reviewed. And it's 14 inch screen. Like I'm really, really impressed with it. I've seen some other prices, but I mean, again, this is what this says. And the other prices weren't much higher. They were like 1100, 1200. I think there's a used one on eBay for like $1,100, but still, that's not like a crazy, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like a crazy price for the laptop. So if AMD's kind of, you know, pretty affordable. And again, I didn't have any issues. I didn't, you know, all of our testing, no issues. I used this laptop a lot and I didn't run into any issues where like, oh, Photoshop's not working or something else isn't, you know what I mean? Or it's kind of slow and sluggish. I didn't run into any issues like that. So it's really like this laptop.
This would work for pretty much anybody, right? Other than if you needed that Thunderbolt connectivity for some reason, right? Like that'd be the only reason to maybe choose Intel over this.
Yeah.
All things considered. So yeah, which is nice to see.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's the whole idea of like their IdeaPad line. It's like a laptop for everybody. And I think this one really does it. And it gives you, like I said, those, like, again, the screen is what I really, really like, but I'm really impressed with the processor as well. And again, being somebody like, if you are traveling or going somewhere, the thin and light makes all of the difference. Ryan carries like a 10-pound laptop.
That's not 10 pounds.
It's big.
It's big and heavy.
So I couldn't imagine like having, you know, I had the X1 Carbon 2, the new one. And it's just like how thin and light it is. And knowing that, you know, years before, I always loved, what did we call those? Remember like the netbooks?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, like I can use that. But like they were powered by the Celerons. Well,
Intel Atom.
The Atoms. And it was just like, no, like you literally could do web browsing and that was it. Like you,
I have one and I actually busted it out the other day and I have like some low power Linux OS on it. And it was just like miserable. I was like, I forgot how much these suck.
And I love the form factor because I was like, that's what I want. Like, I want to be able to be somewhere like right now, like I live by the beach. Like, I want to be able to like, maybe like have like a, you know, just like a sling bag on with like a laptop that like, and I know this laptop can do everything that I want, whether it's photo editing, video editing, just normal web, like it can do everything and it's super thin and light. And this laptop is it. Same thing with the X1 Carbon. Like we're to that point now where it's like everything can be done for the most part. You know what I mean? Unless you're doing like crazy 3D render, whatever.
Right. You know what I mean? Even then it can probably do it. It's just going to take that much longer.
Yeah. Right?
And suck up battery, but yeah.
Yeah. So really like this laptop. Check out the review for sure. I don't know why it's not available currently. I don't know if it's chip shortage or they're coming out with a new one, but excellent. Like, I think if they continue to do this or they come out with a newer one, same kind of design, give me the OLED screen, Ryzen, thin and light, it's going to be a home run. You know what I mean? Like I said, definitely go ahead and check that review out. Also took a look at some DDR5 from Lexar. So Lexar sent us over their Aries. This is a 5200 megahertz kit. And it looks like, so we took a look at some Lexar DDR4 memory and the DDR5 stuff looks a hell of a lot better. Just like the overall look of the heat spreaders. You have this sort of gunmetal design. It says Lexar here, Aries up top. No RGB on these. They will be coming out with an RGB version. That looks almost identical, except for this top is a diffuser for the RGB, but no RGB on this, which again is fine. I think, again, we're getting far away from RGB, which I think is good for all, you know, I like the variety because when RGB memory came out, that's like all you could get. You couldn't even find a non-RGB version. So it's nice to have, you know, non-RGB memory out there. It looks really, really nice. Timings are 38, 38, 38 at 1.25 volts. XP profile, so no issues getting this to run. Here's what the tops look like. So it's just all black. Like there's not even any Lexar logo on the top. It just looks all black, which will look great in a lot of builds, I think.
Yeah.
It performed decently well. Again, 5200 megahertz is sort of like, well, 4800 megahertz is the starting point for DDR5, but 52 is kind of like just like the next step up. So, you know, like in our testing, it did, you know, like right in kind of like in the middle, you know, in our test, you can see it kind of sits there in the middle. The other kits did a lot better. You know, all the 6,000 and 6,200 kits did better, obviously. But I think overall it's a good kit. I actually was not able to overclock this, which is really surprising. One of the big reasons, I think, is because Lexar is using Micron ICs instead of the SK Hynix stuff. And the SK Hynix does a lot better when it comes to overclocking. So not able to overclock this. But again, that's fine because there's just people that just want to throw this in and just have it up and running. You know what I mean? But the thing that I had, the problem I have with this memory is the price. It is $369.99 for a 32 gigabyte kit. Let me see if that's still the price. Yeah, still the price. Yeah. So $369.99, 32 gigabyte kit, 5200 megahertz. Now, if I DDR5, 32 gigabyte, 5200 megahertz. If I type that in, you can get Corsair Dominator Platinum at a higher frequency, 5600 megahertz for $343. You know, you can get, like, there's a lot of other kits that you can get. Here's the Dominator cheaper. Platinum RGB for $306. Like, the pricing is just off on these. Trident.
And didn't we see this with some other previous Lexar devices that you, you reviewed? It was like their pricing was just higher than it needs to be.
Yeah, and again, like, this is, you know, slightly higher timings here for the G-Scale Trident Z5, but the Z5 is running at 6,000 megahertz, 4040/4096, 1.35 volts, and it's RGB. Like, this memory needs to be like 329, you know? Like, Kingston Fury Beast, which we reviewed, right, is 200 for the same, and it's a CL40 kit, not a CL38, but it's, you know, 199 right here. So this memory is way overpriced by, like, I don't know, $100.
I was gonna say $100.
Yeah,
it seems insane.
And again, it's like, it's not like it's, you know, it's all, yeah, it's like, it doesn't make sense. This is all their different memory. But yeah, it just, I don't know if it's availability or, you know, what, but it's just priced bad. So I only gave it a 7 out of 10. I mean, if it was priced better, it's a solid kit. It performs good, but it's just,
like, are they paying more for components? And so they have to price it higher to make money on it, you know? Cause
yeah, I don't know.
They're just trying to make more profit. I don't know.
It's just not priced right. So you can't, you know, like, again, it's a good product, but if you can get Corsair Dominator RGB DDR5 for less and the Corsair is higher frequency, like, you know, so take it for what it is. Check out the review if you're interested. Like I said, good kit, just not priced correctly. Talking about money, our Case on Friday build is a $7,000 build, which is pretty awesome. So this is done by Designs by IFR, Corsair case, Corsair water cooling, Corsair fans. It has the kind of white coolant in there, and I really like the white milky kind of coolant with the gold fittings. I think that's like a perfect color match. I don't know how, what you think about it, but I think it's like,
I don't know. Like, I think I would prefer silver or black on here. Gold, I'm just not a fan of most of the time. I think it can look good. Like, gold and black, I like a lot usually. Okay. I don't know. Paired up, maybe it's just the paired up with the RGB. Right, the gold and white probably would look okay, but maybe the color of the fans is what's getting me. I don't know, but otherwise, no, this is a pretty sweet build.
And I do like the riser, or no, what do you call that? Like, the graphics card support
holder
bracket, support bracket that has the RGB in it from ROG. That looks awesome. Let me go back here and see a couple more of these pictures, but. And I really like it that because it's obviously RGB, like, you can get different looks. You know, this is more of like a yellow on everything, you know, and then he has one that's like a, you know, like
the green,
a green, like, you can really change the colors around. It's just, like I said, it's a nice looking build. That big ass Corsair case, you know, just works well. I like it.
Where's the $7,000 coming from?
What do we have here? Asus Z690 Glacial, which I believe that's very expensive.
That's going to be expensive.
ROG Strix 3080 Core i. Is it only an i7-12700K? Maybe all the.
I mean, the water, even all the water cooling isn't going to be that much.
I don't know.
You know?
Where is all the money going?
Where's the. Are they plated in gold? Is like gold plating? Is that what cost?
Maybe. How much is this motherboard?
It can't. I guess we're about to find out.
I mean, maybe. Oops. Okay. The motherboard is.
All right. $2,000.
I mean, right. Yeah, that's on Amazon.
And then you have a 3080.
Yeah, it's like it's $2,000 motherboard. Dang, that thing's expensive. But it comes with the block. That's why.
Right.
I mean, in that block, I mean, if you look at it, like with the big ROG logo, like that looks awesome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like to have, yeah. So that $2,000 motherboard, you know, 3080 is what, whatever that ROG 3080 would have been, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we, you know, we're getting up there. All the water cooling parts, all the fittings, water block, and it's all Corsair stuff. So all the fans, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 fans as well.
10 fans.
10 fans. Okay.
3 up top, 3 on the front, 3 on the side, and 1 in the back.
Yeah. So lots of fans.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here. So yeah. Like I said, I like it. Definitely check it out. Again, this one's by Designs by IFR, and let's get into the news. And it is Computex week, even though it's not like Computex, because it, I guess there's stuff going on, but it's not like obviously.
I think that they just haven't allowed a lot of outside folks in.
Yeah, yeah, like nobody I know is there per se. But AMD did have their big keynote, giving us a lot of details on Zen 4 or what, you know, what's going to be called Ryzen 7000 series. For those, you know, we have Ryzen 5000 series. That is the desktop part. The way that AMD is doing it is the Ryzen 6000 series will be like the APUs, and then Ryzen 7000 series is all the true desktop parts. It's going to be, one, AMD is claiming 15% single-threaded uplift over Zen 3, and they're going to be doubling the per-core L2 cache from 512 kilobytes to 1 megabyte. And then they're saying that the CPUs will be able to boost up to 5.5 gigahertz. That's probably the top-end SKU will probably do that. New socket that we've been talking about for a while, going from PGA, which is the current socket type, to LGA, sort of like what you see on Intel processors where the actual pins are in the motherboard itself. So you don't have to worry about bending pins when you're installing that Ryzen processor. I've done that. I'm sure some of you guys have done that as well. I didn't do it. I dropped it. I dropped the processor and bent pins. Which was horrible. And the only reason I dropped it is because I, you know, doing CPU cooler reviews and I'm, you know, it's down on there real tight. And then when you pull it off, when you unlock the CPU cooler, the processor just pops off with it. Right. And it's kind of stuck. Yeah. It's stuck to the bottom of the cooler. And then I'm just trying to wiggle it off and it just wiggled and it just went. And then I like find it. You know, not like all the way across the room, but I find it on the floor and I look at it and like the two corner pins are just, one was completely gone. So I'm like, yeah, it's
bad. Oh, no.
It's not working. So yeah, so I've had that problem. So it kind of solves that problem. So you're going to get something that looks like this, which is going to be really interesting for thermal paste and CPU coolers.
No, you're stealing my thunder for the next story.
Oh, well, you know, but that's just what it's going to look like. So,
yeah.
That was all kind of revealed, DDR5 and PCI Express Gen 5. And you're going to get Gen 5 on both the first graphics card slot as well as the first M.2 slot, which is really good. Because, again, you don't get that on the Intel side. you get mostly Gen 4. I don't think there's hardly any boards that actually support Gen 5, you know, because you don't get it from the right. CPU. So the actual chip design is you're going to get up to 2 Zen 4 CCDs that are, of course, connected together. The CCDs are built on 5 nanometer, while the IO die is built on 6 nanometer. Big upgrade because the IO die before was 12 nanometer. So 16 Zen 4 cores per socket. And these are all performance cores. So you're not going to have like performance cores and efficient cores like you saw with Intel. So I think that we're definitely going in the right direction as far as the chip design. It's kind of what you expected, though, right? Like, did you expect? I mean, you didn't expect much of anything.
No, I mean, we've seen, you know, some previews for this coming out, so we kind of expected some of pretty much all of this already.
Yeah. So you have all of that, and then coming down to the actual platform. So they're saying now this isn't normal. But they are saying at launch, we're going to have 3 different chipsets. To start off, just the platform itself will give you 24 PCI Express 5.0 lanes. 16 of these are for PCI Express slots. 4 are for the NVMe slot. So again, if you are running dual graphics cards, they would be the first slot's going to get all 16, the second slot. If you install 2 cards, it's going to be cut to X8 and X8, and then just 4 PCI Express 5.0 lanes for the M.2. So on a lot of these boards, which we will go into in a second, you know, you'll see 1 PCI Express 5.0 NVMe slot, and then the rest will be 4.0 or even 3.0, which again, we'll go into. Dual channel DDR5 memory supports, no DDR4 support. So you're not going to have the mix up where you're going to have boards that, you know, support some that support DDR4, some support DDR5. It's going to be all DDR5, which is be a lot easier for people kind of, you know, oh, should I go DDR4 route? Should I go DDR5 route? Blah, blah, blah. So you'll kind of have that there as well, which I'm definitely a big fan of. I don't like the mix up.
Yeah, I think it's smart to not, you know, not go the route Intel went. Not that I don't like that they offered DDR4 and DDR5 boards, but we've been on AM4 motherboards for so long, and on that same platform, you've been able to use your DDR4 for the entire generation of since Ryzen's been out. So now, you know, we're on DDR5 platform as well as the new socket. I think, like, you can probably not be too upset that they're making you change memory. Like, I can't take my 64 gigs from my current 3800X build and put them onto a new build. That's all right. I've probably got enough life out of that.
Yeah. Yeah. And as far as like IO, 14 USB 20 gigabit per second ports, including type C. And the big thing here, we are going to get integrated graphics. So
yeah.
Kind of like flew under the radar. Like I wasn't expecting it because I think AMD has done fine without it, you know. Yep. But you are going to get integrated graphics here. It is going to be built on, of course, AMD. Is going to be obviously AMD graphics. So for a lot of the SKUs, you will have integrated graphics. So if you are in a spot, and we've talked about this with, you know, especially during like the crazy, like I can't find a GPU, you could run Intel integrated graphics till you could find that GPU. You can do the same thing here, or it is really great too if, you know, you just have an issue where your graphics card breaks, or you haven't, you know, you got to RMA something, you don't need like another dedicated card. Like you can just
run. You're not totally out.
Yeah, you're not totally out. You can still like browse the internet and play and do whatever kind of you want. But with that, you will get up to 4 DisplayPort 2 or HDMI 2.1 ports, which you'll see on the motherboards. So again, with a lot of Ryzen motherboards, you saw no, like, you know, IO. A lot of times you would see like HDMI or DisplayPort on a lot of Intel boards. You're going to see that here on the new AMD boards. Also, you're going to get Wi-Fi 6E plus Bluetooth. Will be standard on the boards, and AMD developed this with MediaTek. So it's basically to kind of push out Intel on the Intel made solutions for Wi-Fi 6. So you have that there. And again, as I said, at launch, there's supposed to be three chipsets. So you're at the top is the AMD X670E or X670 Extreme. Below that is the AMD X670. And then below that is the B650. Now, the thing that really separates these is the X670E or Extreme is going to be, basically they're saying it's PCI Express 5.0 everywhere. So all of the graphics slots will be 5.0. All of the M.2 slots will be 5.0. It's not clear how they're getting all of those lanes. We assume there's basically like a whole nother chipset on the board to give you all of those lanes, because you're not going to get those lanes from the CPU, the 5.0 lanes. But the Extreme is going to be like all of the super, super, super high-end boards will be X670E, and everything is going to be 5.0. So again, like when people thought about upgrading to the Ryzen 5000 series, it was like B560 or X670. The X670 gave you all Gen 4, where the B560 gave you one Gen 4, and then the rest were Gen 3 as far as NVMEs. So if you're thinking about upgrading, the X670E will give you Gen 5 everywhere. All of your graphics slots and all of your M.2 slots. The X670 is going to give you that top graphics slot is Gen 5. The top or the one of the M.2 slots will be Gen 5, and then everything else will be Gen 4. B650 will give you PCI Express 5.0 for storage. And then a lot of those other ports will be Gen 4, Gen 3, kind of a mixture of both. Good way to break it down. I like that they're able to give us Gen 5 everywhere for like the extreme enthusiast people who want the price is no option. I want Gen 5 everywhere. Like I want to be on the forefront of the fastest tech that's out there. That's what, that's kind of what you're getting.
I think that X670 is going to be the sweet spot.
Yeah, very much so.
So that you get both storage and graphics at PCI 5.
Yeah. So fall 2022, no SKUs, no breakdown of, anything else. Not a whole lot on the integrated graphics. So, yeah. So what do you... Do you excited about this? Like, how do you feel about...
Yeah, no, I mean, I'll wait to see what we're getting on SKUs and pricing. I'm considering doing a new build. But I don't know. We'll see. I may stick with the current build with just an upgraded graphics card as well. Because
There might be an indication of like, okay, so this new socket, because we've had AM4, right, for a while. New socket is AM5. Like, how long?
How long of a life? Do the same thing. We're gonna get multiple generations out of this. Yeah. I would hope so. Yeah. And I think that's been pretty popular. Plus, AM5 coolers or AM4 coolers will be compatible with AM5. Yeah. So you're not all the way out there. You can reuse a cooler if you need to or want to.
Yeah, I'm excited. I would say the upgrade cycle for AMD has been a little slower. Like, we've been on the same chipset for 2 years almost, right? So it's nice. It's going to be nice to get something new. You're going to get all the new tech. They're really pushing the limit with the X670E, Gen 5 everywhere, which is crazy. It feels like we just like jumped over Gen 4, especially when it comes to storage.
Yeah, feels like Gen 4 is still pretty darn new.
Yeah, so I'm really excited. Obviously, next coming weeks and months, we'll have a lot more information on Ryzen 7000 series and Zen 4. So we'll definitely keep you guys updated on that. Ryan has a story about an engineering sample that was already kind of out there.
Yeah, let's see here, switch my page here. Yeah, so it's, we're used to seeing these engineering samples, though. They get out in the wild, whether it's a motherboard manufacturer that's testing out, a BIOS or some firmware on the board. you know, folks just end up with them, and we get some early shots of them. So obviously we're going from, like Bob said earlier, from the PGA to LGA format for mounting in the pins.
Look at that thing.
And
that is so interesting.
You brought this up just a little bit. You mentioned thermal paste, right? And I hadn't really noticed it in this picture because I hadn't zoomed this picture in, but I can even see a little bit right here in this corner. And I was thinking the first time I saw this, I was like, okay, it's bad enough sometimes when this is just a full square here with four sides. This thing has like, what, 24, 36 little sides to get thermal paste over the edge, you know, and we've got components down here where it's going to spill onto, whatever. That's just nitpicking, but like, I just see that being a little bit of trouble, or more hassle than it is worth on cleaning up. But, you know, good to see the engineering samples out there.
It does mean that it's legit real, like it's coming.
Right, you know, and Lisa Sue had one in her hand. It looked the same, so we know that this isn't just like, oh, they're gonna polish this up and make it look a little nicer or something.
It makes me wonder, like, why? Again, like, I guess there's components there. Like, if you bring that picture up again, like the big one,
can we get these closer together, or like move these four like to the side here and spread these out? Could they have done something different? The thing
is like, for most people, not a big deal, right? You install your CPU cooler once, but like for people like me,
for us,
it's like, one, I test CPU coolers, so like I have to take it off every time. Or like when I'm testing motherboards, I have to pull the processor, and it's like you gotta, you know, because you, for a fair comparison, like you want to make sure you're to take off all the thermal paste and then reapply the thermal paste and clean it off. And it's just like, oh man. But again, most people won't.
And we see that mounting hardware again here too, right? The
A4 you can see the
hardware. So, you know, we'll be able to clip on coolers or remove the default brackets and screw into the.
Yeah. You can't see in that. Wait, can you go to the other picture up top real quick?
Oops. Yeah.
No, you can't see it. I'm wondering if like the mechanism to unlock it, if that gets in the way with those brackets on the side.
I doubt it. I mean,
I doubt it. Yeah, but it's interesting. So, well, like I said, it's cool to see it. I'm pretty pumped for this. I'm definitely Ryzen has been very, very good. So,
well, and actually, we should be able to see it in some of the motherboards that have leaked out or have been shown off. Should be able to see if that lever gets in the way or what they do for that.
Yeah. Well, talking about that, we have some motherboards that were announced, which is kind of surprising because AMD didn't really but we already have like full lines of motherboards being announced or shown off. We want to talk about a couple of them here. We have the ASUS ROG Crosshair X670E. So again, that's the super high-end all Gen 5 Extreme motherboard. Here's a picture of it. I mean, and we have some interesting, like, it's like all closed off up here, which I like, which we've seen a lot of the ROGs. They're still keeping with this sort of like pixelated ROG stuff, which I also like. But look at that clip. I mean, you can't tell if you lift that clip up, like it can't rub up against here.
Oh, no, there's no way.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be like one of their high end. This is the Extreme.
So. What is this cooling on the side? Is that a DIMM.2 slot?
That's their DIMM.2 slot over here.
Okay.
I
just see like a heat pipe.
Yeah. And it's interesting that DIMM.2 has the heat pipe, whereas the previous one did not.
Right.
It looks like it's going to be an awesome motherboard.
Gen 5 runs a little warmer.
Yeah, you have... Oh, yeah, of course. You have so much on this board that's like all the little buttons and stuff. You have the
90-degree mounted power and all that as well.
I love that. Yeah. Bless you.
Thank
you. Like I said, it's a really, really good-looking board. And then ASUS had a bunch of stuff they kind of talked about. In one of their YouTube videos. So if you want to check that out and see kind of what their offerings are going to be for AM5, a lot of stuff. Here's another kind of, again, this is a render, I guess, but you can still kind of get a look at that socket. It's just so weird to see like AMD, the LGA socket. It's a little different. We also had MSI. They announced a bunch of boards, X670 Meg Ace, MPG Carbon, and Pro Series boards. You can kind of get a good look at those here as well. They look good. I think everybody's like ready. Like all these motherboard manufacturers are like ready to go with this, which is kind of nice. Like I feel like a lot of times, like when we've seen it over the years, we're like something's coming, you know, and they try to rush it out, and then we don't get like a full lineup of boards from the manufacturers, or some of like the boards you really want come a little bit late. Like I think all these manufacturers are like, and we have more information on like, you know, so like the Navi 2 integrated graphics for Ryzen 7000 series and kind of the differences in what you're getting that MSI kind of just put out there that like AMD didn't. So you can see, you know, some of the differences in what you would get on the boards. One of the big things is TDPs, 65 watts to up to 170 watts for the highest. Yes, for the highest. I believe they said like that's the TDP, but the P, whatever you call like the actual number is like 220 or 230. It's, you know, that's going to be on the highest end part, but still. Yeah. And like I said, AMD Expo, we talked about this a few weeks ago. That's going to be the, like their XMP profile. So that's, you know, all ready to go. So like I said, it looks like all of these motherboard manufacturers like ready to go with these boards. I'm pumped for it. You know, they all look great too. Like all these boards kind of look refined. We're getting a little bit, again, like a little bit of the cosmetic changes from the previous generation, but they don't look, you know, like they're half done. Like these are all ready to go. So yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm pumped. So we'll keep you updated as more boards get kind of shown off throughout this week. We'll be posting stuff on the site. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. What else we got here? Oh, this is an interesting thing. Cause I saw this and I was like, this is cool. I like it. But then I was like, you need like a specially made case for this. So
almost, yeah.
MSI is showing off, what they're calling Project Zero, which if you look at the picture here, I think we have this is what a normal motherboard looks like, right?
Sure.
So yeah, you have all your connections over here, your SATA, your USB, your 24 pin power. All your connections are on the edge of the board, and that's how it's been for forever. What they are kind of proposing is something that looks like this, where all of your ports and everything are hidden, which, again, I like. And you can kind of see that on that new Asus board. But the way Asus is doing it is definitely different than what MSI is doing, because if you look at this picture, it's showing that they're putting all of the ports under the board.
Like, well, I hadn't even looked at this too much, because I was like, oh, yeah, they're just doing that, but... Okay, so do you have to have a case with taller standoffs?
It's like you have, or the motherboard comes with tall. Like I don't understand how it's going to work.
But and again, if it's got taller standoffs, you got your back.
Yeah, and if you have taller standoffs, then you have issues with CPU cooler clearance and other clearances that cases are made for.
Video cards are going to be that much further out as well.
Yeah, too. So it's like a lot of things. Like again, this is just like development, probably, but I'm more for making these dust covers or whatever like higher and then putting the ports like where they would normally be,
right?
Just, you know, under the cover. That's how that's how if we go back to like that Asus board, like that's how they did it on their previous one, was like all your ports are here but they're covered.
Yeah, they just have a cover over it.
Yeah, they used to have a cover over it. Whereas, like, you could do the same thing here. Like, I don't understand.
Unless the angle we're seeing, like that PCB, unless that's, we're just seeing it at a weird angle here. Do you have another angle or anything of it?
I don't think we have a tweet from what it, like, here's the tweet.
Do that bottom left. Okay.
This one?
Bottom left.
No, like, they're on the bottom of the board. It doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah,
you need like a specially made case or like, and again, this comes down to like connections too. Like you're running these cables, like, how are you fitting this? Like, where's this board going where you can do this?
Right. There's no, I don't have a case that has holes to put those two 8 pins, right?
Yeah. Like this. Yeah. So I don't know if, again, prototype, obviously, or like a specially made, like MSI has a specially made case where like these things kind of just like plug in, like they're all modular and like everything just plugs in. And then you connect like on the back of the, like the back side of the case would have a connection or something. That's the only thing I can think of. Maybe. Like, that's the only thing that makes sense. I like the idea. And again, like of boards that are like covered, like where you don't see any connections. I like it. But again, I think that Asus has it kind of down where you just have like a dust cover or something over it and you have all the ports coming out the side, you know, because again, there's no case that's going to work with this. It's just not going to work. So interesting. Obviously when we see like how this actually works and goes together, we'll let you guys know, but it's, yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. I wish it did. I wish it made sense, but it doesn't make sense. Talking about Gen 5, a Pacer and who else? And Zadak, they announced their first consumer PCI Express Gen 5 SSDs up to 1300 megabytes per second or 13 gigabytes per second speed. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about the
need for speed?
Yeah. That's, here's what the suit drives look like. You know, first gen,
like the cooling solution looks good.
Yeah. First gen of Gen 5 that we're going to see here. Again, we're going to see these all be announced and kind of probably come out or availability around the same time that Ryzen 7000 series comes out. So we're going to see a lot of these announcements, but this was the first one. You know me, I like speed. I as fast as drives as I can get. Yep. That's what I want. So it's good to see it. I'm pretty excited for all of these and just the speed that we're going to be able to get with, you know, all this stuff. So yeah, that is definitely exciting. We talked about the 480 Hertz monitor. Was that just last recently? Week? Was it last week or was it week
last before? Week or 2 weeks ago? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Asus, of course, announced a 500 Hertz refresh rate monitor at Computex. Is the ROG Swift 500 Hertz. That's what they're calling it. World's first fastest esports display, 500 Hertz, 1080p 24 inch display. It has G-Sync, eSports mode, NVIDIA Reflex Analyzer. That's what it looks like. Again, most people be like, stupid. But I think I would love to play on, like, even like the 300 versus the 500. Like, is it, or like a 240 versus the 500? Like, is it a big deal? Like, can I tell what the difference is between the two, right?
Well, like we talked last week, you have to have a GPU and system that can keep up and provide 500 frames per second to make this even worth it.
Yeah, and this is kind of what they're trying to show you, like how the different smoothness looks like. Hard to tell because they have these ones kind of grayed out. But, yeah, 500 Hertz. It doesn't, no word on pricing yet.
A lot
for this. But if you're if you're a professional game, I mean, this is what you want, especially if you're playing like Valorant, Counter-Strike, those type of games. This is definitely what you want. So we're going to keep on pushing it. I said when we were talking about the 480 Hertz, like how high are we going to go? Well, we're at 500. So what do you think we'll go above 500 by the end of the year? Like you'll see 7, 6, 7. I don't know.
That seems like we just got the previous.
I mean, with the arrival, like we're going to see RTX 40 series or 40, you know, like the 4090, 4090 Ti come out. It's going to, we assume it's going to be very powerful. Well,
that's the thing. That's what you're going to have in order to push this monitor to 500 Hertz and 500 FPS at 1080p. Like I don't see what else could power that.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely keep you guys updated. We'll find out. That's it. Yeah, this is crazy. I'd love to use one just to like see kind of, you know, how it looks and everything like that. Corsair has got into the laptop game, which is pretty.
No way.
Corsair is like, they're going to make everything eventually. And yeah, that's what I figured. But yeah, tell us a little bit about this.
They're getting laptop there. And yeah, so they have their Voyager A1600 laptops. Gaming and streaming is what these are aimed at. And again, this is another set of laptops that are powered by AMD, which, you know, you took a look at that Lenovo system. Now we've got a Corsair here with the AMD Ryzen 6000 processor and RX 6800M mobile graphics. And they tout this as kind of that streamer or gamer and streamer laptop. And you know, you look at the standard specs, you know, we've got a 8-core 16-thread CPU. We've got a 2560 by 1600 IPS screen, so a pretty nice resolution on that 16-inch screen. 240 hertz refresh rate, which is nice on a laptop. But then we have this bar right here, which is kind of where the streamer part of the A1600 laptops comes into play. So obviously Corsair and Elgato go hand in hand nowadays. So we have 10 Stream Deck buttons along the top here underneath the screen between the keyboard and the monitor. Kind of like, you know, we've seen on Apple where they've got the what was that bar called?
Touch bar,
right? Well, this is 10 Stream Deck keys and a small LCD in the middle. It's not all an LCD. It's just a LCD in the center. But you obviously can pair this up with Stream Deck software and control your stream aspects right from the single device of your laptop, which is pretty cool. So, you know, you don't have to carry around a Stream Deck. It's all built in there into the device. Got Cherry MX mechanical low profile switches with individually addressable RGBs. So, you know, pair that up with IQ to control your keyboard lighting. Pretty awesome. Fingerprint reader here. What else did I want to mention? We've got two Thunderbolt 3 USB 4 and one 3.2 Gen 2 Type-C connection. And obviously this is using the Capellix LEDs that we've seen Corsair move towards on most of their new products. Super efficient on power. They look awesome. They're tiny. Really pretty sweet. It does have a 1080p 30 frame per second webcam as well, and a 4 microphone.
Do you know setup. If the webcam like I didn't.
Is it what?
It's not based on like the Elgato.
I don't think it's based on the Elgato camera. No.
Gotcha. But at least it's 1080p.
Yes, 1080p 30 frames per second. It's up top here. You know, we've seen some laptops with the camera down at this angle, not great for
anything.
For anything, yeah, exactly.
Anything.
And it comes in a couple of different versions. Let's see here. We don't have it on this. It was 2000 something. I was looking the other day.
Yeah, I was looking at prices
when it was announced. It's like 2200 and 2600, I think.
Gotcha.
I'm not 100%
it on is. I like it. I think that, especially like Corsair and Elgato, they marry kind of a lot of products together to create a product for a specific person. This is a gamer streamer, you know, and somebody who possibly doesn't want to build their own PC or is on the go or, you know, like a laptop just makes more sense for them. This is kind of like that product for that person. Right. And again, it marries the Elgato tech with Corsair tech. And then you have, of course, like AMD and, you know, everybody, you know, in the NVIDIA graphics in there.
No, this has Radeon graphics.
Okay, Radeon graphics, yeah. So, I mean, I think I want to see performance on it and kind of, I would really like love to see it in action, like have an actual streamer use it and see how, you know.
And it's got some upgradability as well, right? You've got two DDR5 memory slots. You've got two Gen 4 NVMe slots as well, M.2 slots. Oh, nice. So you can swap your storage out. What else do I want to show you? Yeah, so it's got this, oops, I didn't want to hit play. Built-in macro bar, right, with center LCD display. So these are, I think, always going to show S1 through S10. It would be nice if you could kind of change those up a little bit. Yeah. But you're adding cost there. Mechanical keyboard, integrated Slipstream wireless for your wireless components.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, pretty awesome setup.
Yeah, it looks, like I said, I do think that Corsair has come out with products that are like for a specific person. And I think this is, and it's like, it's nice that there's not like 10 SKUs for this. Like there's two. So it's like you get the lower end one or the higher end one. That's it. And kind of see how it goes. And yeah, I like it. I'm a fan of it. I think there are a couple of videos out of reviews on it. So it would be interesting. I haven't had a chance to check those out, but definitely. If you're in that kind of realm and that's kind of something, it'd be definitely something we're checking out. I would say check out the reviews of it. You know what I mean? So and then we have a new H7 case from NZXT, which looks quite nice. And I'll let you get into it because this is your story, Ryan. But they have three different versions, which they should have done from the beginning. One's high airflow that like everybody's wanted, like, you know, but anyways, go ahead.
We have the H7 case the NZXT has come out with. Like you said, it's got three versions. We have just the H7, right? And it comes in a few color schemes. So there's a white and black, there's an all white and an all black. From the images we have here, we don't have a lot of angles on the shots, but just the standard H7 has a solid front here. Totally white on the inside. I love it. Like there's the only thing that's dark are like these screws and the motherboard standoffs. Yeah. You've got your standard NZXT cable cover here. We can kind of see inside. Tempered glass side panel, nice open mesh top, a single fan in the back, some more airflow here, which I really like. And I do love that this opening above the motherboard, you're not just cut, like that 2-inch by 1-inch little hole that you're trying to shove two cables through and get them routed around. That opening makes things so much easier. So that one's, to me, is a little starved, right, of airflow to the front.
That's how
not ideal. Yeah.
That's the tipping. That was the cool thing at the time when these cases originally came out. Like,
until we thought about it for 5 minutes. Yeah. Next up is the flow version, which obviously replaces that front with a much more higher airflow front with the perforated screen here. Pretty much the same case, just better airflow. Obviously, they're showing it here with their mock-up of a all their AIO cooler and an NZXT motherboard in there. And then we have the Elite, which kind of brings together... and you can see it better in this picture, but we've got some ventilation on the side here, at least on the right side. We don't see it on the left, which is kind of disappointing. But they've kind of combined tempered glass on the front with some ventilation on the one side. It'd be nice to have a little more ventilation on both sides for airflow. Obviously, that would help out a ton in this situation. But this kind of gives you the best of all the worlds and choices for the consumer, which we always like to see, giving folks the option to put whatever components in there that they would like and have them shown off as they would like. And then let's see here. They had a couple accessories as well. They've got a new fan controller. Pricing for the H7 and the Flow is $130, which I think is pretty fair. And then the H7 Elite is $199, and that's because it does come with some included RGB fans.
It comes with the three in the front controller. Right?
I think that is.
I believe it comes with the three front mounted.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the controller. RGB fans. So I feel like that's fair. You get three RGB fans with their controller, and their controller. It's not just like
and their 140 millimeter fans. Yeah, their controller's pretty nice.
And their controller works with software. So like it's not like one of these controllers that like you know, it,
you got to press, like, open the case and press a button or something.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it actually, it's like, yeah, software
controller. When it's got six RGB and three fan channels, yeah. And yeah, you can use NTXT Cam to
control
customize that. So.
Yeah, very cool, awesome stuff. So some awesome news, of course, coming out of Computex. We have a lot more, obviously, with everything, you know, over the next few days, and then obviously next week's podcast will have a lot more information on a lot of the stuff that's coming out. We're getting a lot more details on a lot of the announcements as well, because I feel like the AMD announcement was, while there was a lot of information, a lot of things were like very vague, and there's been a lot of back and forth with AMD kind of trying to get the actual numbers and stuff like that. So we'll have a lot of that stuff for you guys next week. Also talking about what we have coming up next week, I have a big ass case. This thing's huge.
Big ass case. Sweet.
Yeah. Oh, wait, that's you.
Well,
there we go. But yeah, so the Thermaltake Core P6 Snow Edition, huge. Massive case. It's huge case. It's really big. But yeah, just a big old case. Lots of room for cooling, lots of room for hardware.
What size fans are those up front? Are they 160s?
I don't know. The one that I have didn't come with any fan. Like, it doesn't come with any fans, which is a little bit disappointing, because it would be nice. I might install some fans up there. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can do. I mean, just look at it. It's huge. So if you were planning like a water cooling bill or something like that, there's just a lot you can do in this case. So definitely stay tuned for that. And then also, I'll be taking a look at a CPU cooler from a brand that I feel like Scythe, or however you say it. Mm-hmm. People always yell at me on my videos because I say Sith, but
yes, you do.
Is that not right? Is it Scythe?
No, it's not. It's not a character from Star Wars. It's Scythe.
Okay, so Scythe. Well, anyway, maybe when I make a video on this, I'll say it correctly. But in any case, I feel like they're like the one brand that, at least in my testing, has been consistently very good. But I feel like they're very overlooked in like the PC hardware community. Like, I don't know anybody that runs these.
I forget about them a lot, to be honest.
But they've always been, at least in my and again over years, like over like, you know, 10-year span of testing these, they've always been in like this, like they compete with Noctua and Cooler Master as far as high end coolers. So I'm excited to test this one. This is their Muggin 5 Rev C. We reviewed the original Muggin 5, and it was like at the top of our testing. So I'm excited to test this one out. Pretty simple cooler, lots of heat pipes, single, big, I would say thick, single tower. So interesting to test this one out. I'll be installing it probably tomorrow and doing my testing. So excited to have that for you guys next week as well. And we come to the end here, to the end of the podcast. We talk about any tech related stuff. And I hear Ryan, you got a new watch.
Oh yeah, yeah. Got the can't flip it around too easy, but I got the Wyze Watch 47. So it's their latest smart watch. I mean, it's not like anything fancy. It's super cheap. Like, it's under, it was like $40.
I think it's so, on sale like, today for $20.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I got an email from them.
I got an email from them too, and that was the older watch, I believe.
Okay, because I was like, I saw that because Ryan had told me about that he got this watch. And then I guess it's Memorial Day weekend coming up. I got an email from Wyze. It's like Memorial Day weekend sale. And I see the watch on there for $20. And in my head, I'm like, Ryan probably just bought this for more than that.
Actually, you know what? It is on sale. But, well, it cost a little more because I bought it in store. Like, I got it at Walmart.
Oh, okay.
I think it costs a little more there. But yes, Wyze, they have it on sale right now. The C version, the 47C, which means you can get it in like different colors. Is $30.
No,
either
so
way,
they,
like,
so does it, it like they have their own app that kind of matches up with everything?
It pairs up with the Wyze. It shows up in the Wyze app. Yeah,
nice. Yeah, because like, again, like, so like I have an Apple Watch that like, you know, it goes into like, you know, it kind of, yeah. I mean, I was actually looking
at your heart rate and your oxygen sensor, and
yeah,
you know, it's more basic than some. Right, but for $40,
isn't it kind of crazy how like certain tech items have gotten so inexpensive? Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, I can't make phone calls with it, right? I can't do any of that. But
yeah,
$40 for what would have cost like $500 just 5 years ago.
Yeah, pretty awesome. That is this. Have you had a wearable tech? Have you ever had a smartwatch before?
I've had I had the Pebble, so like okay. The OG Pebble. I had that. I've had one older Fitbit that was pretty basic. Then I had the Fitbit Versa 2, I believe, okay. Watch, and I had the Wyze Band as well.
Okay.
So yeah, I've had a few. This and the Versa 2 are like the closest in comparison.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but this is like my my Apple Watch was like the first like wearable tech that I ever, and it was mm-hmm. you know, I wasn't sure if I was gonna like it or not, but I wear it every day, so that's cool. Yeah. I'm glad you like it. Did anything else on the tech front?
No, I think that's it. I'm gonna try and swap out my wireless card and my laptop tonight after the podcast. So
nice.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I've just been working on reviews. I'm trying to think. I've been watching hockey.
Yeah.
Yeah, Penguins are out, but what are you gonna do? But yeah, I'm still watching. I mean, some great hockey. Talking about that. So like I had to, because I don't have cable, right? And I had to, so NHL is stupid. Like previously, and again, I haven't had cable for years. Previously, I could just buy NHL, like it was NHL.tv, which is like run by the NHL, and you could get every game from every team for like a set price. And like I always paid it. The service kind of sucked, but it got me all the games. You know what I mean? And then this year they sold the rights, but they sold the rights to two different companies. So like half of the games are on ESPN. And then like half of the games are on TNT. So in order to do that, you had to like want. So like during the regular season, I could get almost all the games on ESPN. So like I bought ESPN Plus, you know what I mean? But now that, especially playoffs, it's like every other game, one's on ESPN, one's on TNT. So I had to buy Sling TV.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, I forget, it's like $30 a month, whatever. But like the Sling app is so bad, especially on like Fire TV, ESPN app, Fire TV stick works great. The Sling app is like, it just like hogs, like it's just like a badly programmed app, I feel, because it just runs like crap.
I mean, Sling's been around forever, but yeah, they haven't kept up, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's just not great. But yeah, so like that's just like a new, I guess, semi-new tech thing that I had to figure out, and you know, but. Watching hockey, so but yeah, but beyond that, yeah, just working on reviews, stuff like that. We played, if you guys didn't know, we played Apex last night, after Ryan got his pump installed, so no gaming tonight. But what I will do for you guys who are listening now in the live stream, or if you're listening to this later and it's still there, I will put a Steam key in our Discord, just throw it in there, some game. I threw one in there.
Does that go in gaming chat, or do you put it in general? Where's that?
I put it in the general. I'll put it in the general. Some random Steam key. Oh, talking about free games. Let me see. The Epic.
Yeah, Old Man usually tells us at the end of the night.
No, but it's the entire BioShock collection.
Oh, nice. I'm launching.
Yeah. So the entire. Continue. The entire BioShock collection, which is normally $60, is free on Epic Games right now. So that includes
adding it to my library as we speak.
Yeah, it's the entire collection. So that's awesome. Yeah. So really, really good stuff there. And I think they said the next one is going to be Far Cry 4.
Dang. So
that's what I heard. At least what I think. Let me go back here. Let's say no, but. That doesn't say, but yeah, but I'm pretty sure the next one is Far Cry 4. That's what I saw somewhere. I think I saw it on Reddit. So awesome. Bunch of free games. But yeah, if you're not in our Discord, thinkcomputers.org/Discord, get in there, just hang out. I'll be dropping a Steam key in there in like next 20 minutes. So whoever gets it, gets it. But thanks everybody for coming out. We definitely appreciate it. Everybody, we saw some people comment on Twitter and on Facebook, making sure Ryan was okay and he didn't flood. So we appreciate you guys on there as well. And yeah, we're going to be back same time next week, right? We don't have anything.
Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday, not Thursday. So definitely stay tuned for next week. We'll wrap up Computex and just, like I said, just hang out and talk about tech. So we will see everybody next week.